I want to welcome you to Healing School this morning, and it is really a high honor to be able to teach Healing School. And so today and next week, we're going to be talking a little bit about God's covenant power toward us. But really what we're going to be talking about today is He sent His Word and healed us. And I want us to really understand today the importance of what that verse is telling us. And I think if you're new or considering, does God still heal today? Then I'm convinced you're going to be encouraged. And if you're experienced and you lay hands on the sick and see them recover, then I'm equally optimistic that you're going to be blessed today and be able to go out and just increase in watching Him work through you. So let me pray and then we'll get started. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You that I know You gave me this for this time, and we just yield to You. I say that my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer, and I hear Your voice, and the voice of another I will not listen to. And Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are the teacher, that these people don't have to depend on me, but they can depend on You as the teacher of the church. And so we open our hearts to You to be taught today, so that we might walk in the wisdom and in the truth that You give us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 2 chapter, verses 4 and 5. And I just want to read a couple of verses about the power of God. Because here as we approach Christmas season, Jesus was sent to bring us that new covenant power, to make it available for you and I. And that's all the benefits of that covenant. And it includes the other covenants too, the law, the benefits of obeying the law, which He did, and then also the covenant of grace that Abraham walked in. So listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, who do you think that power was demonstrated to in the works of the Spirit? To the people. So it's toward them, just like it's toward you and I today. And then verse 5 says that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And so we're not just basing our faith on what men say, but we're basing our faith on the Word of God and the power that He has to do what? To perform that word. 1 Peter 1:5 says that we are protected, King James says kept, by the power of God through faith. So here again, the Holy Spirit's power working through our faith. Now, by grace, through faith, we live just like we got saved. We don't have to earn it. It's given to us. But the power of God through our believing, and believing in today is really what we're going to be talking about, is a word that He sent to us. Hebrews 1:3 begins to pick up on this concept of words and power. It says about Jesus that He, Jesus, is the radiance of glory and the exact representation of His, talking about the Father's, nature. And look at what it says, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. And we often talk about a powerful word, but this says the word of His power. So I want us to begin to see that the word He has given us contains power for us to use. And really what I want you to see is Jesus coming in grace, as John, the first chapter, 14th verse, says He came full of grace and truth. I want you to begin to see grace maybe a little bit differently than we've been taught, or that certainly that I've taught before. We always hear about grace being what? Unmerited favor, undeserved, something you don't work for. That's absolutely true. But today I want you to begin to see that grace in the form of it's all of His power made available to you for your benefit. It's His whole being that He's placed inside you that we have available. Now, when we talk about Jesus here upholding all things by the word of His power, I want to ask a question for the first time today, and we'll ask it again near the end. Who is His voice, and who is declaring His word of power in the world today? And several of you are saying we are, and that's certainly the right answer, but that is really a focus. Why is that? Because you and I have been given that authority, that covenant authority that we have. And so what I want us to see now is that the covenant authority that we are executing goes back to the terms of a covenant. Now, in a covenant, there are a lot of exchanges. They would exchange coats, they would exchange weapons, anything that would convey identity. But one of the things that was exchanged was vows. In other words, they would say, I will do this, and you will do this. So it was really a laying out of the responsibility of that covenant. And that's what God's power will do for us who believe. It will perform those covenant words of promise that we have been given to act on. And isn't that just what the key part of that, let me, before I say, talk about Abraham, is that we act on it. We believe it, but we also need to act on it. And we'll see that in some scriptures, some healing scriptures later on. Abraham was our father of faith. And so we have, and we need to understand, all of the benefits that he saw the Lord provide him are ours today for our taking. And this will really set the stage also, talking about his power, not only for today, but next week. We're going to talk about the communion meal and the power in it. And you're going to see some ties to what we cover today about the word of his power. So he sent his word and healed him. So go with me to Psalm 107. And I want us to look at this psalm. I'm going to read four verses, and then we'll read a fifth one as we go through and begin to talk about it. But we often just quote verse 20. But I want us today to read these verses and look at some of the context before and after. So verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. Verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with what? Joyful singing. Now let me start by talking about verses 21 and 22. The way this is written, so if you'll go back to 21 for me, Pastor Robert, the way this is written, this is coming obviously after he sent his word and healed them. But I just want to draw you back to what we talked just before Thanksgiving. When are we able to give thanks? When we pray. Why? Because we know when we pray his will that he's going to hear us. And when he hears us, we know we're going to be granted those things that are his will. So we are one who can be given to give thanks before and after. And that is really a testimony of our faith in him when we do it. And we saw the power of thanksgiving, how it really just positions you under that open heaven to receive from him. But in verse 21, I want to call attention to one word. It says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Now, in King James, you'll see that word is goodness. But in the Hebrew language, the word is hesed, H-E-S-E-D. Sometimes you'll see it spelled C-H-E-S-E-D. And I would say the best translation I know of it is covenant love. In fact, it's almost used in the Hebrew language as a synonym for covenant. But because of that covenant love for you, his wonders through his power, are toward you and I, the sons of men. Now, this is not the only time that verse is used. It is used in, that phrase is used about their loving, his loving kindness, his hesed. It's used in Psalm in verse 1 of this psalm. It's used in verse 8. It's used in verse 15. It's used in verse 31. And I want us to read together verse 43, the last verse in this psalm. This says, "Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things." To what things? To the things that this psalm is talking about. Now, this psalm started in verse 1 talking about His covenant love for you and I and His power toward us through that covenant. And then look at this last phrase. "Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord." Now, I believe that that last part says when we understand His loving kindness, His covenant love, His desire to give you above and beyond what you expect or ask, what is the benefit of that? We gain in wisdom. And that is what Proverbs tells us is a principal thing. And so when we understand this, then we'll understand what Proverbs tells us, that His Word is what? Like medicine to us. So we begin to see the power of His Word in these verses. Now, obviously, giving thanks is important, and we want to continue to do that. And verse 22 really continues that. But now go back and look, let's go back and look at verse 19. And I want to do a little word study for a couple of these things, a couple of these words, because I think they're important. It says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble." Now, the Hebrew word for trouble there literally means a tight place. It is translated distress, afflictions, and many other things. It's also translated in the King James, the word strait. Have you ever heard anybody say, "Man, I'm in a real strait"? That means I'm just, things have crowded in around me. And so, to me, this word, these words for could certainly include the straits we feel ourselves caught in with physical things that come against us, injuries, pandemics even, how things press in on us. It's really a lot like some of the words that are used in the 12th chapter of Romans about when the world presses in. Don't be conformed to them. But I just want you to begin to think about trouble here being pressure put in or a tight place. That'll become important later. And then it goes on to say, "He saved them out of his distresses." Now, the word saved here is the Hebrew word Y-A-S-H-A, which is the base word that is used for Yeshua. And, of course, Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Anointed One. And that word literally means open, wide, or free. Now, isn't that just the opposite from being in a strait, in a tight place? So open, wide, or free. And certainly, we know that when He saved them, that our salvation includes deliverance, preservation, wholeness, soundness, all of those things. It's not just deliverance from sin, but it's all the impact of sin as well. And then we look at verse 20, where we're really focusing. And I found this interesting. The Lord, Pastor Trey, put out the schedule. I just asked him, "What do you want me to teach?" And I got this verse. And then to teach on communion next week, the power of the communion meal. But isn't it interesting? He sent His Word, and we're talking about His Word being sent, and we're talking about Christmas time now, that season where we looked when Jesus was sent to the earth. So He sent His Word. The word "send" here can mean to send away, to send out, or to send for, as if you're sent for a purpose. Now, when I saw this definition, I immediately thought of John 3:16. If we could put that up, please. You know this one. "For God so loved the world that He gave." That's what love does. That's what covenant love does. It gives without us earning it, deserving it. It just gives and gives and gives. But we can almost say, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son." Just like it said earlier, "For He sent His Word and healed us." And what we see in this is that Jesus was sent from heaven. He was sent away from heaven to the earth for a what? A specific assignment to bring the new covenant to you and I. That was His purpose in coming as He showed the Father. Now, the word there then goes on to say He sent, back in Psalm 107, verse 20, He sent His word and healed them. Now, when we see that, He sent His word, does that make you think of John, the first chapter, first four or five verses? Let's look at those for a minute. Big John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. Now let's stop here. How did all things come into being during creation? Eight times Genesis says what? And God said. And God said. So we see words spoken creating the things that we see today. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now I want to pause here. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. What kind of life did He bring and make available to you and I through this new covenant? Zoe life, or the God kind of life. Now, the word light in there also is interesting because I think of light in terms of one of the greatest forms of power that we have. That's why militaries today are so interested in laser power and are working on those. But I think you can interchange these. He came bringing light, and because of that power, we get life. And so I want you to begin to see that in His light, the light of the Word, there is great power that what? Brings life to you and I. And then finally, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Some translations would say overcome it. Now, in looking at this one, just stay in verse 5 for a minute. This tells me that there is great, great power in that light, because none of the abilities or the power that Satan has can overcome this light. In other words, there is nothing that is going to stop you and I from receiving His light and receiving His salvation, and, as this verse is talking about, I'll add, receiving His healing. Spirit, obviously, made a new spirit, but in our soulish realm and in our flesh. Now, verse 14 really puts this in perspective. And the Word became flesh. Jesus, the Word, was sent, and He became flesh and dwelt among us. And this is where it says, and we saw His glory as full of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that's how Jesus came in this great light, and what? With the power that came from the words. Now, going back to Psalm 107, He sent His word and healed them. In the Hebrew, this is the word Rapha. It's what you see on the banner here on the left-hand side, my left-hand side of the church in the back. Jehovah Rapha, one of the redemptive names of the Lord. How the Lord described Himself to the children of Israel. Now this word, when you really study it in the Hebrew, it implies the following. It implies that you're going to restore something to a pristine condition. In other words, just like it was before. So let's begin to think about that in healing with the emotional healing that we need in our soulish realm, but also our physical body. Can I use an example? Have you seen people who were just consumed by restoring old cars? 57 Chevys. I mean, some of these things sell for 20 and 30 times more than they cost when you bought them. But what do these people do? They restore it just like it was off the factory floor. In other words, it's in mint in good condition. And when we begin to understand that this is the Lord's desire for us, He wants us restored, and He talks about us having Eden in our hearts, just like it was in the garden. Spirit, soul, and body. And we just think, how is that possible? Because of that what? Covenant love. And it doesn't depend on us except for believing because of His grace. Now, the world, well, let me back up. We use this phrase, justified, and we break it up sometimes to say it's just as if I'd never sinned. But do you see, this is what restoring in pristine condition is? It's just as if I've never fought through addictions. It's just as if I've never had cancer, that I am remade in His image, in my flesh, just as He designed it to be. Now, this last word here in this verse, it says He delivered them from their destructions. This Hebrew word actually means a pit, like the pit that they threw Joseph into. And then you're going to see an example of Jesus using this in a moment. Might I say it this way? That pit was a place that Joseph couldn't get out of by himself. He needed some help. Might that be how we feel with mental oppression sometime? Might it be how we feel when things come against our body and we're fighting it? Like, Lord, I can't do this anymore. But what do we know? We have a Lord who has covenanted Himself and His power to you. He said, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. And He says in Isaiah 41, the last part of 10, I will uphold you with what? My righteous right hand. Jesus Himself, the Word made flesh, is there to hold us up. So we see this Jehovah Rapha. Can you give me some examples, Minton, of this in the Old Covenant? Yeah, let's look at one under the Abrahamic Covenant. Genesis 20, verse 17. Genesis 20, verse 17. Abraham prayed to God, and what he prayed for was healing, and he healed Abimelech and his wife and his maids so that they bore children. This is one of the first accounts of healing, other than Sarah's womb being made whole so she could conceive, in the Old Covenant. Let's look at the children of Israel in Exodus 15, verse 26. And this is when the Lord revealed to the children of Israel Himself as Jehovah Rapha. The Lord said to them, and I don't want you to skip through this first part of this verse, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God. So how would we say that? If you'll listen to what I'm saying, if you'll listen to my words that I'm sending forth to you, that I'm giving to you, and you'll do what is right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and keep all of His statutes. And let's stop there. Who did that for you and I? Jesus did. Deuteronomy 28, the first verses where it says, you got to do the whole law, you got to do everything. And if you do, we can say, because Jesus did that for me, then all those blessings that are listed in the following verses are available to me. And by the way, none of the curses have a right to attach themselves to my body in that chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. But the Lord goes on and He says, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptian, for I, the Lord, am your healer. He's revealing Himself here as Jehovah Rapha. Let's go on and look at a Psalm of David in Psalm 103. And we'll just start in the second verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Now, when I see that phrase, forget none of His benefits, my mind goes immediately to covenant. Because I have a covenant where He's giving and I'm believing. All of those blessings, all the things that He's promised in His Word to us in that covenant, I see as the benefits of my covenant. Verse 3 then. He pardons all of our iniquities. And everybody would say, yes, amen, we're forgiven. But then he doesn't stop. He says, right following that, who heals all your diseases. Those two statements go together, just as Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 tells us they do. We'll see that next week. But what he's saying here is, when I pardon your diseases, pardon your iniquities, I'm also performing healing in your body. Why? Because disease is an impact of sin. But we're having our sins as if they never existed, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. And then verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit, might I say, from that tight place, and who crowns us with, here's that word, loving kindness, which is the word hesed or hesed for covenant love, with loving kindness and compassion. So here's three witnesses that this is available under the old covenant, under the covenant of Abraham, and I believe David latched on to what was going to be made available to you and I in the new covenant, and he's declaring this as he looks forward and seeing what's coming. Now, with that, I want to stop and go back to this word in Psalm 107, verse 20, sent. And I want to ask this question because I think it's important to us as we live and as we speak from our mouth. How was Jesus sent to the earth? Might I say he was sent by words, by the words of the Lord that were spoken, a great number of them by the prophet Isaiah. It was declared prophetically how he would come as what? In a virgin birth, which we're about to celebrate. We were talking about Emmanuel early, Pastor Trey was. Isaiah referred to him as God with us. And I will stress what he said. When he said he was going to be God with us, it was not for just Jesus on his time in the earth. It is for today. Because that is the reason we can say Jesus is here in this place, because you brought him. So that is a prophetic word that was given. And I also want you to look at one today in Malachi, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse. It says, and I believe this is prophetic of Jesus, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise. And again, since we're talking about being sent, when I read this, I think about he was sent with healing in his wings. Many translations will say instead of wings, it will say beams and rays. So what is he talking about? That light that came when Jesus came to the earth, that life that he brought. And what kind of life did he come with in that light? Healing power, healing light, the life of God, the kind of life that we are going to have in that when our body is made just like Jesus and we're not subject to any part of the natural curse of this earth. So what I want us to see here is that when that happens, look at what, and again, Old Testament, they would write this afterwards. We can celebrate now and go forth and skip about like calves in the stall today before you receive, because you know, just as we've been teaching, not just me, but others for a long time here at Healing School, we have been given the healing power of God. When Jesus says it was finished and when he was raised up, that healing power was made available to us. And it's working in you and I today. So let's look at Jesus. Now, I want you to go to Matthew 12. And we're going to look at an account of healing in this chapter. We said Jesus was there at creation. He spoke from his position as a part of the Godhead, and things were created. There were prophecies about him coming, and those words that were sent forth from the heart of the Father concerning his coming, he came. as a man. Then he was filled with the Spirit. And I think that's important for us to understand in this. And then we pick up in verse 9. So departing from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man there with a withered hand. And they questioned him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So here, there's this man with the withered hand. And the Pharisees, knowing what they've seen before, he's going to heal him. And isn't that really sad? The Pharisees who were criticizing had more faith that this man would be healed by Jesus than much of the church does today. But praise God, it's too late, devil. We've been taught, and we believe that here. And then he goes on in this account, Matthew does, and he says, Jesus said to them, "What man is there among you whom having one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath?" So here's that word pit again. The Pharisees are talking about healing. Jesus sees this man who needs healing. Do you think he's talking about healing as well? Absolutely. So what's he equating healing as to falling in a pit? Now, when I think about falling into a pit, I don't think of it in terms of I made a willful decision to jump into that pit. So I'm likening this to some of the decisions that we make in sin, with sin, that open doors. But this to me is different. This is saying because there's a pit and it may be hidden or covered, I'm falling into it. How often do we, as soon as something happens to us in the flesh, start looking at where did I mess up, where did I screw up, and where does that go to then? Condemnation. So Jesus is talking about a sheep that just fell innocently into this pit. And continue reading. He says, "If he's there on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out?" And then verse 12. Now, take this verse about you personally. And those of you listening online over Facebook today, see yourself with what this verse says. And I'm going to read it just a little differently. You can see it on the screen. But how much more valuable are you than a sheep? You are the reason that God covenanted with Jesus to come to the earth to raise him up from the dead. Each one of us are the reason that the Lord entered into that covenant with Jesus and raised him up so that what? We might be brought into that same covenant. You are the object of his covenant love. So when you see in Scripture, beloved, who is it talking about? You. And look at what Jesus says then. He asked the Pharisees, "So is it lawful then to do good on the Sabbath?" And then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." Now, a withered hand, I think about is one that maybe is just drawn up. There's no power to it. Maybe it almost is useless. It doesn't produce anything positive. That's the way I see this man. And he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." Might I say this? He sent this man a word. Now, think about this man. He's in front of all these Pharisees. He's probably not comfortable being up front, everybody looking at him. And he hears this word from Jesus. What did the word sent from Jesus do for this man? It gave him confidence. It gave him faith to believe it and to act on it. So how did he straighten out something that he couldn't do? He just believed and began to respond to the word of the Lord. And what happened? The power of God in those four words that Jesus spoke to him, "Stretch out your hand," came upon him, and his hand, it says, became fully restored just like the other. Doesn't that sound like that pristine condition that we talked about, Rapha, earlier? And it was restored just like the other. So here we see Jesus doing what? Sending a word. Now, I want to remind you, think about how many times, and we won't look at them for time's sake, in the New Testament, you see the phrase that people came to hear, and what are they hearing? The word that Jesus was sending forth, the word he was declaring, and to, finish the sentence for me, be healed. To hear and to be healed. So we're beginning to see how words sent from the heart of God to you in a specific situation can bring what? A faith, or that word becomes a rhema. What do you say when you see something in Scripture for the first time? When the light turns on? Oh, I see that. Because it becomes illumined to you. Do you realize when you're saying that, that you're receiving that word, it becomes a rhema word, not just a word spoken, but it becomes a living word, a word with power that brings life. And that's what this scripture says that we've been looking at in the Psalms. He sent his word and it healed them. I believe that is a perfect picture for how healing is to take place in us today. Those words sent with power. Now, whose words were Jesus speaking? Well, look at in the book of John, the 5th chapter, verses 19 and 20. Jesus talking says, he answered when he was questioned and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." How many people would say today, well, Jesus could do whatever he wanted to on the earth? That's not what he said. The Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. In the next verse, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you may marvel." Now, think about this. In verse 29 of this same account, I believe is where it says, and it may not, I may have it written wrong, but it says, Jesus says that the Father is with me. He's always with me. Now, put yourself then in these verses. When Jesus sees the Father doing things, he hears a word, and he said also, "I only say what I hear my Father say." So when he hears it, it becomes what? Light or revelation to him, and he speaks it. And he says it that he does it for the Father loves me. So think about yourself. Does the Father love you? Yes, Jesus said in John 17, 23, that he loves you just like he loves me. And it goes on to say even better that he's placed that same love in us. So this healing word that Jesus sent forth, we can ask the question today, will the Father do that same thing with you and I? And the answer is yes. Because Jesus said you're going to be able to do the same. But that's nothing of ourselves that we're going to be able to do. Think about the scripture, and in fact, let's just look at it. Luke 7. We've got time to do this. Luke 7, the first verse. This is concerning the centurion. So Jesus is off to Capernaum. And in verse 2, "And a centurion slave who was highly regarded by him was sick and about to die. And when Jesus heard, and when he heard about Jesus," what do you reckon he heard? Might he have heard that Jesus was speaking words and results were coming? I think that's exactly what he heard. "But when he heard about Jesus, he sent some elders to him to ask him to come and save the life of his slave." Verse 4, "When they came to Jesus, they implored him, 'He's worthy for you to do this, to grant this to him.'" Verse 5 says, "Because it was he who built our synagogue and he loves our nation." But then verse 6, "So Jesus started on his way with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends saying to him, 'Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof.'" Jesus obviously didn't think that was true. But look what the centurion says, "For this reason, I did even not consider myself worthy to come to you, but just what? Say the word, and my servant will be healed. Now, what revelation did the centurion had? Look at verse 8. For I am also a man placed under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Verse 9. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled, turned and said to the crowd that was following him, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. And what was the result then? He was healed. The man was healed. Now, think about this. What did this man recognize with Jesus? The authority of his words. He said, I'm a man under authority, and I say. He recognized that in the spirit realm, Jesus had an authority that when he said, things happened. What did Jesus say to his disciples? What is the charge that we've all been given? Go and say. Go and say. Speak who I am. Declare me. So, for the last time, I'll ask this question. Who are the ones that are to go forth and declare healing in our own bodies and to lay hands on the sick and pray for others? Because the charge was, when you do, they will what? They'll be raised up. They'll be healed. We are. So it's you and I declaring the word of the Lord. Now, I can't tell you how many times we've had people come to pray, and I've heard Pastor Robert and Pastor Trey say the same thing. And you say, do you have a word that you're standing on? And a lot of people will say no. But there are a number of people who say, yeah, I'm just standing on the whole word of God. Well, let me just encourage you. Narrow that down a little bit. Take some time to get before the Lord and hear a fresh rhema word. Let Him speak a word directly to you that brings that light, that plants that word inside. So it may be a lot of different words. You could say Psalm 91, verse 14. The last verse in that psalm says what? The Lord will give us a long life that is satisfied. How about Matthew 8, 17? Talking about He bore our iniquities and He took our diseases. So 1 Peter 2:24, the same type of context. There's so many verses. And I have found that if we, like David did when he needed to go attack a second time, won't just do what you did the first time, but if you'll seek the Lord, He will give you that fresh word. Now, I want to close with this. Last week, we were meeting in the House of Expectation next door, and Pastor Trey had the service, and he was led to do a time of testimony. And as you, many of you who are here today were sharing your testimony, great words. There's enough things that happen in this body that we ought to be celebrating every day what others are receiving from God. And as I heard those, I heard the Lord begin to talk to me and bring up two verses on the importance of a testimony, of you declaring your testimony. And so let me give you a couple of scriptures, because I want you to see, when you are giving your testimony, and now, to me, a testimony rightly given is one where you talk about what the devil did to you for 1 minute and what Jesus did for 4 or 5 times that much. It's not where you glorify all the bad things that had happened, but it's talking about what Jesus has done for you. When you do that, can I tell you, you are also sending forth, if you're talking about healing testimonies, a word of healing. And let me show you the scriptures that the Lord gave me. Revelation 12, the 11th verse. Revelation 12, verse 11. It says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. You know, there are a lot of people who would put a period after that phrase right there. But there's an and there. Because what? We have to receive that word and act upon it. And so, how did they receive it? They received it by picking up and doing it, and then it became a testimony to them. So, he says, that they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. Now, even more people would like to put a period after that because this last phrase we don't like. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. Or they did not love their life even unto death. To me, this just means I don't need to be fearful about what something happens in my life. You know, when my dad died, and I can say this because Mom isn't here today, although she'll hear it tonight, because of some words that had come out of Mom's mouth when Dad fell that last night of his life, she felt a great deal of condemnation for a long time. And she beat herself really bad, beat herself up really bad. And then that took her whole focus, though, off the Lord and put it onto herself. And she began to wonder how she was going to survive. Now, part of that, and she's given me permission. She's heard me say this before, so I'm not saying something I should. Part of that is she lost her identity when he died. Her identity was more rooted and grounded in my father. She would introduce herself. I'm Mrs. Minton Williams. Right, Tricia? Instead of her identity rooted is I'm a covenant son or I'm a covenant daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where identity needs to be. When we have that identity, we won't love our life unto death. Now let me get back to what I was wanting to talk about. They overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What you reckon their testimony was about? Telling about what Jesus had already done for them. So now see yourself giving a healing testimony. What Jesus has done for you. You are proclaiming, I believe, what He will do again. Look at Revelation 19, the 11th verse. The 19th chapter of Revelation. John has encountered an angel. The angel has instructed him with something in verse 9. And he said, basically, this is truth. John then says, I fell at His feet to worship Him. But He said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Now, the angel is telling John, I hold the testimony of Jesus. But I want to say it this way. You are the testimony of Jesus. You are the testimony of Jesus. You are different from an angel. All he could do was see. The miracles and the testimony was not his of what he did for me. It's what he did for you. So when this says we hold the testimony of Jesus, this is saying, I believe, we hold what Jesus has done for us in the past. Very similar to giving a testimony. And then he says, worship God for the testimony of Jesus, me describing what Jesus has done for me. Maybe I haven't heard the word yet that I'm supposed to speak in the word. But I can always recall what the Lord did for me. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, what's that saying? What is prophecy? In this respect, it's talking about something that is being foretold about what will happen. So when you declare your testimony, you are sending forth a word, if it's a testimony of healing, of healing. When you declare your testimony of being delivered from drugs, alcohol, or other elements of sin, as we've all been delivered, what are we doing? We are foretelling what Jesus will do for me once again. He is faithful to do it over and over if we miss it. Man, that is so freeing to me. Because there are times when maybe you don't have a clear word. But folks, that's why Jesus told His disciples after He'd fed the 5,000, you can't see? Don't you see? Don't you hear? No, they weren't seeing or hearing. And then what did He say? Don't you remember? All we need to do is declare what Jesus has done for us in the past, and we're setting Him up to do it again. We are sending forth for what we're talking about today as His agents with authority on this earth, the word, and it healed them. Let me encourage you with that today. Always remember what He's done. And when you don't know what to say, testify of it. Give glory to the blood and do it with absolutely no fear, looking at the devil and saying, and he's going to do this to you again and shut you down in my life. Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you that you've told us that you have sent your word. You've sent Jesus. He is our healer. He manifested himself in this earth as our healer. And Father, I thank you that today he is still our healer because you've put us in covenant with him resident in us and us in him. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. We thank you for your great, great mercy. And today we just declare we are the beloved of the Lord. Your word has been sent to us, and that word brings healing to our soul and to our flesh. And we declare it to be so in Jesus' name.